And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. It is August 2nd, 2025. We welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here. We'll be right back after this song. Stay tuned.
I was born on the wings of an eagle. In this one-time wonderful land of free people, I was planted right straight down on a piece of sanctified ground that was written about in my holy Bible. I was raised in the backwoods of Virginia. I took my first two steps and discovered Carolina. I was a natural freeborn child growing up green and wild. I was one of the original sons of liberty, y'all. Now I'm a free man. Nobody better tread on me. Nobody better try to say that I'm his boy, 'cause I'm a son of liberty. Yes, I'm a free man, and I'm here to make some history. I won't compromise with tyranny. I won't tolerate attacks upon my cup of tea, 'cause I'm a free man. Nobody better tread on me. I said nobody better tread on me. I learned to fight in the War of Independence, where I defended the rights of all of my descendants. I finally earned my wings to fly on that famous 4th of July, when I proved to the world that I could make a difference. Was temporarily defeated in the Southland when them federal boys invaded God's grace land. And since the war between the states, they tried to keep us all federal slaves. But you know me and the Lord in the South, we're gonna rise again, friend. 'Cause I'm a free man. Nobody better tread on me. Nobody better try to say that I'm his boy, 'cause I'm a son of liberty. Yes, I'm a free man, and I'm here to make some history. I won't compromise with tyranny. I won't tolerate no statutory slavery, 'cause I'm a free man. Nobody better tread on me. Nobody better tread on me. It's time we see that the enemy's within us. And even right today, they're trying to Washington deceive us. They thought they had us all surrounded up in that there Montana township, but all they did was create a couple more million of us. Yes, I'm a free man. Nobody better tread on me. Nobody better try to say that I'm his boy, 'cause I'm a son of liberty. Yes, I'm a free man, and I'm here to make some history. I ain't liable for, no subject to, no regulated by internal revenue, 'cause I'm a free man. Nobody better tread on me, because the Lord, you see, he set me free. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty to be a free man. Nobody better tread on me. I said nobody better tread on me.
And good morning once again, and you're listening to Coffee with Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We're coming to you live this morning, August 2nd, 2025. I'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Will.
Good morning, guys.
And we're going to start off with a word of prayer this morning. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just ask that you lead us, guide us, and direct us this morning. Put us in the direction that we need to be going. We pray, Father, that we can be a blessing to the saints and a blow to the snakes. We pray that you just have your hands upon us and just move us in the direction that we need to go this morning. We pray, Father, for a good broadcast this morning. We ask that you shine your face down upon us, that you just use us, Father, to bring your light into this world. Lord, we just we're grateful and we're thankful for all of the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day, and we ask that you continue to be with the remnant, continue to waken your people up to who they are, that this is the land and we are the people. We ask that you just continue to just do a mighty work with your people In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, man, there is just an awful lot to talk about this morning. And, you know, talking about world news, I seen that the first article that I seen was that I thought was interesting was from InfoWars. And it had talking about these Jews attacking another bunch of Christians over there. So from the way that I understand it, it was the last fully Christian town that they have over there in Israel. Is that what you, is that what you guys gathered as well?
Yeah. I mean, and it's already been attacked. Well, attacked once before, right? So yeah.
We mentioned this a couple of weeks ago that this is the way they were heading. And something interesting to me, I've been thinking about this, is, you know, no one's coming right out and saying this is the Israeli government. They keep saying it's settlers that are you know, causing this violence or whatever it is. Really what they are is state-sponsored terrorists. That's what they accuse, you know, these Palestinians of. It's the same thing that the Israelis are doing, is they're sending these people into these Christian territories. And this is, Jason, you're right. I think it's Tybi or Taba, but it's the last Christian town in Gaza in the West Bank. And they were attacking homes and setting cars on fires and houses on fires and telling these Christians to leave. They have to get out. And I know, Tim, you may remember, Tim, but these are Christians that have been there for, I think, 1,000 years, something like that.
Yeah, that St. George's Church is like one of the oldest standing churches in the region. I mean, it's been there forever. Of course, I think it's been pretty much wiped out now because it was caught on fire and stuff like that. But you know, I was looking at this when I was reading through this, and it just really occurred to me that, you know, what do you call people that are outside their borders, you know, trying to take over another land? I mean, they're calling them settlers. I think we call them illegal immigrants when they come in here, or illegals, you know. I mean, it's the same process, if you look at it, that it's really not that much different. You've got bad actors. Well, are they really, or are they, you know, agent provocateurs or foreign agents going into these other places? They're basically going in and perpetrating violence and destruction in order to bring about border change or annex other lands into their country. I mean, can you imagine if we just decided suddenly that Northern Mexico belonged to us, and we just started sending in settlers in there across the border the other way? Do you think there'd be some public outcry about it, or some you know, anger? I mean, so this is it's weird how they it's such a war with words, you know, and with idealistic concepts that aren't. When you boil it all down, it's like it's not that much different. So I think, I mean, that's. And there's, of course, the other thing that disturbs me a little bit about the whole humanitarian issue with it, and it's a broad spectrum. I mean, whether it's Gaza, whether it's Taba, whether it's all these areas out there, they're talking about all these terrorist attacks, and they're not wrong. I mean, the wording is correct. So, and it looks to me like we're going to get into a lot of that this morning.
I have an interesting quote about this, what we're talking about in this Christian community in the West Bank. And of all people, it comes from the German ambassador to Israel. And his name is Stefan Siebert. And this is, I mean, we have talked on the show and, you know, off air as well, that it's growing where people's eyes are, you know, the scales are being taken off their eyes and they're seeing the truth. And I just think this is an interesting quote. Okay, so this is the German ambassador to Israel, Stefan Siebert, and he condemned attacks on Monday, and he said, whether the target is a Christian village or a Muslim community, these extremist settlers may claim divine mandate, but in truth, they are criminals, and they are strangers to any authentic faith.
Wow, that is a good quote.
Yeah. And I found that to be pretty doggone interesting that, you know, you got somebody that it represents a major government like Germany. And I know we talked about last week, I think it was, that, you know, France is set in the United Nations in next month in September to recognize Gaza as its own state. Since we talked about that, Great Britain has now said they will join France and do the same thing. And I think Germany is now on board as well, that they're going to recognize Gaza as its own nation. And then you get this German ambassador that's basically calling these Zionists an illegitimate faith, that they're not authentic, that in fact they're criminals. And I don't know. I think that's interesting.
I got an interesting quote, too, that I or just part of an article that I read, and I think it's interesting. It says, quote, U.S. Ambassador to Israel Mike Huckabee and Special Envoy Steve Witkoff made a rare trip to Gaza on Friday about the heightened pressure, including from within MAGA circles, to reconsider the administration's support for Israel's war on Hamas and intervene in Gaza's hunger crisis. So, I mean, to me, it was it's like, okay, yeah, it's about time. But at the same time, it's there's so much stuff that's going on over there, and this hunger crisis is real. And but the part that I really liked was to reassess basically what us backing Israel. And I've seen that, come up several different places. So I think that I'm encouraged by a lot of this. I'm seeing that a lot of people's, you know, like you said, the scales are coming off their eyes. People are waking up to who these Jews are. And there's more people that are out there that are, you know, realizing that they are the enemy.
Yeah, I'm encouraged that, it's always a good sign when the enemy starts to eat themselves. And this is an article out of the Times of Israel, and the headline is, in a first, two major Israeli human rights groups accuse Israel of genocide in Gaza. And there's these two groups, B'Tselem and Physicians for Human Rights. These are both Israeli human rights groups, and they have published a report publicly accusing the government of Israel of committing genocide in Gaza. And I think that's major in itself, is that you have these Jews accusing the Jews of genocide. I don't know what that means, but that's got to mean something. You know, they're turning against themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're the biggest genocide criers as far as the state goes. We were genocided. We were, so it's interesting there now. Well, I had an article talking about the fact that Israel's international isolation has begun, you know, and one of the things that I thought was interesting was just a couple of nights ago, half of the Democrat senators here, that was 27 of them, voted to block some arms sales to Israel, you know, and they're going, I think we're kind of, it sounds to me like there's some distancing going on here, like all this stuff's really changing around, and it's like, I don't want to get any of that on me, you know? I mean, so
right.
we're seeing some, political changes that are being driven by probably people, you know, in the mainstream. I mean, there's a lot of people out there starting to go, wait a minute, this isn't good. So I think that I agree with. I think it's really interesting that we got these people calling them out.
And I see that, you know, in some of their press conferences that they've had over there in Jerusalem, that they're calling for they're calling for the world to come help them annihilate all of the problems and all of the illegal activity that's taking place 70 miles from us. And to me, it's just interesting because they're calling on the world to help them. you know, it just, that tells me that they're losing their power. And I really think that, I think that that's what's happening is there, you know, it's like that there's, you know, been some spell casting or something going on, and that maybe they're losing their power. They're losing their grip on what they have on people. I'm not sure exactly how to describe it, but I know that something's going on there. And to me, it's just like, I mean, they're starting to become a laughingstock. I mean, and, you know, even what I've noticed is just the amount of stuff on social media, and I try not to spend very much time on social media, but I do. I can't believe how much stuff is out on Instagram now, and that's anti-Jewish, and making fun of them and laughing at them, and, you know, putting out truths. I mean, everything from exposing the Holocaust to, you know, lies that they've been spewing for years, and you know, people are waking up to it, and, you know, that to me, that's really encouraging.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, well, and it's like we've said before, once people start asking questions and there's just that chink starts coming, people start looking at other things, right?
So, yes.
You know, the power that they used to have inside, because remember, you know, it wasn't long ago, 10, 15 years ago, there was only one form of media, right? It's whatever the cable news media cycle tells us is, you know, we should be interested in. And I do think with the rise of just really the availability of all the different platforms for the alternative media, they are losing their power. It, you know, kind of what Tim was alluding to as far as they cry genocide and on everything. It used to be, you know, if you threw away a half a bagel, automatically you were an anti-Semite, right? Just any little thing is going to get you labeled an anti-Semite. Well, it's almost like people don't care now. And you see a lot of alternative media personalities maybe, or news outlets, well, they're almost wearing it as a badge of pride now of, you know, they're just unafraid and they're putting it out there. And if anything, it's just getting them more exposure because people like what they're hearing. And it, to me, it's almost like, I think the reason why we're seeing the rise of this is because it makes sense. You know, people have known there's something wrong, but it's been so well hidden that they couldn't figure it out. And now you have people really throwing the truth out there. And I think people can't get enough of it. It's just like, you know, Pastor Pete used to say, you know, truth junkies, right? You can't get enough of it. And I think once you get that, you just want more. And so I think it's incredibly positive, exposing the enemies for what they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, I've seen that, you know, in I don't know, the last 24 hours of a day or two ago, I think it was on the 28th, but, you know, 98 Palestinians killed in Gaza in a 24-hour period. And, you know, there was one lady that was 7 months pregnant. I mean, you think about 98 people, that's just in one 24-hour period. And this stuff is happening every day over there. I mean, it's... And, you know, that's what they're doing is they are, you know, attacking women and children, and they make, you know, they make sport of it. I mean, that's what kind of people that they are. They're, I mean, it's we shouldn't even be calling them people. I mean, they're dogs. And they just and I think that they really enjoy it. They get the glee out of it.
You know, what hit me on that, Jason, is, you know, we'll see these news reports coming out of Chicago or something like that, where, you know, it's Labor Day weekend or 4th of July weekend, and, you know, somebody let the gate open at the zoo, and we have 4, 5, 6 people get killed in a weekend in Chicago, and that makes national news.
Right.
And, you know, you got 98 Palestinians that's killed in one day by the Israelis, and you got to hunt to find that.
Right.
That information. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yep. It's almost like that's not a...
That's not important.
It's not important. I look at it as that should be an international outcry of genocide, you know, killing 100 people in a day.
I mean, they're hitting houses and tents with families in it, with pregnant women and children in it. I mean, that's what they're attacking.
And that was going to be my point exactly, okay. Jason, is these are not enemy combatants. These are not people carrying rifles and throwing rocks. These are people trying to live their life and avoid the conflict. And, to, you know, traditionally, through the history of warfare, the innocents, they're spared, right? Those are spared. We call people barbarians that target those people, the civilians. You know, that is just the burnt earth philosophy of a barbarian, where they're attacking the women. You know, and the other side of that too, I don't know if y'all have seen this, the Jewish soldiers, the Israeli soldiers, they're shooting their goats from long distance so that they won't have milk for the babies. Have y'all seen that? That there's not a goat that can be found in Gaza right now.
Gee whiz.
Against
some kind of, you know, Geneva Convention or some laws of warfare, I would think. But, you know, they don't abide by any of that stuff anyway.
Yes. Well, that's what I was going to say. What's so different about this? They basically have those people encapsulated in within a confined area, call it a camp you want, or whatever. And it's like shooting fish in a barrel. And, of course, when that happened, supposedly, in quotes, with the Jews in World War II, why, that was a horrific thing. But they're doing it to these people, too. So, you know, it's like, so how does that really work? Or, you know, I mean, that's kind of like the pot calling the kettle black. I mean, you know, whatever words you like to hang on it. But, yeah, there's no quarter given, and whatever you want to say, the human struggle issue there is huge. It's and very wrong, and I think that is what we're seeing the outcry on our end with people who are getting is it's so harsh and so unjust that that law's right on their heart. They just have to.
Yep.
They may be sitting down on the inside, on the outside, but they're standing up on the inside going, wait a minute. So it's starting to show.
Yeah.
Our people, for all of our faults, what Tim said about our law being written on our hearts, for all of our faults and all of our shortcomings, we typically don't cotton to children and women being murdered.
Right.
And I think the more that is exposed, the more you will see people just getting pissed off that, you know, that's not right. You know, that's not, as far as supporting the Holy Land and, you know, all of that, it just doesn't compute. It doesn't make sense. If these are God's chosen people, you know, the God that we serve, the God that wrote the law in our heart, he would never do that. He wouldn't allow that. And I think that's what has people asking questions. I hope that makes sense what I'm trying to say. I think that's what has people asking questions is if these are God's chosen people, you know, and it's the God that I serve, my God wouldn't allow that.
Right.
And, so anyways.
Well, and I've seen, the proof is in the pudding, so to speak. I mean, I've seen that there's been all these talks and these plans to annex Gaza and to come up with a ceasefire agreement. And it's really telling when, you know, it's like, okay, we want to do this. We're trying to work something out. And then Netanyahu comes back and says, oh, well, I only want to do a ceasefire for temporarily. We can take a break for a couple of days, and then we're just going to go back to fighting. I mean, that's kind of trying to think of a nice way to put it, but I can't. It's just a bunch of garbage.
A dirty Jew trick.
It is. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's like, I mean, you can tell this is, you know, this is somebody that doesn't want to get things worked out. He doesn't want to come to a truce. He doesn't want to do anything. He just wants to keep killing the Palestinians.
Yeah, yeah. War and destruction for the sake of war and destruction. I mean, that's about what it amounts to.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well, to me, when I hear any time that you hear Netanyahu or any of those people in his cabinet talk about a ceasefire or a temporary truce, what I think is they're just reloading.
Yeah.
I mean, they,
what are they out of bullets? They're waiting on a shipment from Ukraine, or waiting on a shipment from the United States to, you know, bring them some more bombers or some more ammunition or some rockets or some, you know, cases of ammo. I mean, who knows? That's what I think too. I think the same thing. It's like, okay, yeah, they're out of ammo. They're waiting on, or they need some more money to fund this, and they're waiting on somebody to drop them off a boatload of cash.
Yeah, I think I agree.
As crazy as it sounds, yeah, it's probably closer to the truth than about anything.
Well, yeah. Yes.
Well, and in the meantime, just through their pressure on that area, they really aren't ceasefiring, because it's a continued war of attrition, just through starvation and disease, and you know they blow their water up. I was reading the damage in the trees that have been there since Christ's time, you know, and we're talking about olive trees and different things like that. I mean, it's like, wow, that's just wow.
I got a meme picture from Derek up in Canada, and it's got a dirty Jew on it, and it says, imagine being so disgusting, there has to be laws to try to stop normal people from hating you.
I like it.
It's good.
Well, there are stereotypes for a reason. Go ahead.
Yeah. I think they invented the idea of stereotype, too, to try to make a negative. What we would call social norms, they make it negative by calling it stereotypes. But that's my opinion. What Tim was talking about, you know, we're talking about these truces and these ceasefires, and kind of a typical tactic of that group of people, they'll be able to wash their hands and say, oh, no, it's not our military doing this. But like what we see in that Christian town in the West Bank, it's the settlers that are perpetrating the violence. It's not the military. So the government's able to have clean hands and say, oh, we're not doing that. That's a group of rogue settlers doing that, even though they're doing it under the full understanding of the Israeli government and what is the equivalent of permission. And that's a typical tactic. It's not a sanctioned government battle or fight, but they're sure allowing those people to go do that, aren't they?
Absolutely.
That's definitely off-book stuff.
So, anyways,
before we move on to, I want to talk about, just continue on with world news here for just a minute and talk about some earthquake stuff. But did want to tell people, you know, it's like some people, you know, I had some people that said that they don't like, you know, it's like, okay, big deal. This stuff is happening halfway around the world. Well, this is stuff that, you know, I think it's important. We've extended the Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wrangler program out, tried to make it a little bit longer. We try to talk about some world news events before we talk about U.S. news. And we, if anybody's noticed, we've got a kind of a protocol that we were trying to follow that I put together, and just so it flows a little bit better. But, you know, it's like these things that we're talking about over there in Israel and Gaza and some different parts of the country, you know, it's stuff that I really think I try to pay attention to it more and a lot more as of recent than I used to, because it's things that, you know, it might not affect me right now, but it's something that I believe that could affect our children. And it's things that, you know, we need to be aware of, and we need to be teaching them. And you know, a lot of these things that we talk about on here is stuff that I talk to my children about during the week, trying to get them a better understanding of, you know, world conflicts and different things that are happening around the world, so that they can, you know, be informed about it. And I really think that, you know, a lot of this stuff is important, and a lot of the news that we try to cover is stuff that you're not gonna see on Fox News. You're not gonna see it in USA Today. It's stuff that we've got people that share stuff with us. We do a lot of research during the week, and do appreciate your sending us articles too. And if you run across something that you'd like us to cover, just shoot me an email. Send an email to jason@sfaw.org, and I'll share it with the men. We'll try to get it on the newswire. We'll try to pass it around and discuss it here on the programs. Do appreciate the feedback. Love hearing from people that listen to the program out there. And, you know, it's always good. It's good to get some feedback, you know, and don't even mind the hate mail either. So if you got some of that, you can send that our way as well. Always good to, you know, this is, you know, a program for the people. And, you know, just feel free to let us know if there's something that you'd like us to cover or a subject that you'd like us to talk about in an upcoming program. We'd be more than willing to do that. So just wanted to throw that out there. Again, my email address is jason@sfaw.org. We cover a huge variety of topics. And, you know, I really appreciate all the work that Will and Tim both put into putting these news articles together and doing research and sharing it. A lot of time and energy that goes into these programs. And I'm really thankful that that I've got people that are willing to, you know, put time and effort and energy into it. And I know that, you know, the feedback that we're getting has been really good. And I really do appreciate that. So just wanted to say thank you to you men for your part and being part of the program.
You bet.
And yeah, moving on, this whole tsunami thing, I mean, it's like boy, you hear that and that makes your ears perk up. Tsunami, underwater earthquakes. I think that there was millions on notice for evacuation over the last week, 10 days. I mean, it just pretty crazy stuff.
Yeah, that earthquake was like one of the sixth largest, you know, since like the 50s. I mean, it was an 8.8. That's big. So that's if that had landfall as far as a center of a center point, it would have. I can't imagine what the ocean bed looks like, but anyways. You know, the tsunami was huge, and Ecuador, Chile, and New Zealand were really, it sounds like, freaking out. I mean, they were clearing out prisons along the coast and everything else. So, and a lot of other places on it. But I think Hawaii was on the list, weren't they? Yeah.
They were. It sure is interesting. I was trying to go back in memory. I think this is the third weekend in a row, maybe the fourth, that we have talked about volcanoes, earthquakes, and tsunamis.
Right.
And all over the world. I mean, from Yellowstone to Russia to, you know, the South Pacific. It just seems to me that there is a lot of activity going on in the earth right now.
Well, and we had this, and I don't know if anybody else got a chance to see it. I didn't watch the whole thing. I was tired. But on the 29th, they said that it was two meteor showers colliding. And I'll tell you what, though, it was we were up in just outside of Laramie, Wyoming, and it was amazing. The meteors that we did see, the showers, the stuff that was going across the sky that lit up, I mean, it was amazing. Especially when you get out, we were out away from, you know, any any what do they call that light?
Ambient lighting.
Yeah, exactly. And out in a field, and it was just awesome to see. And it was, I mean, there was, and I didn't even see the peak of it. I saw the beginning of it, and then woke up a little bit later and seen some more of it. And it was just, it was awesome to see. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, Warren, how are you?
I'm doing a lot better than I was last Saturday. Praise the Lord, I was in the hospital. You know, we had a lot of smoke up here in Wisconsin and stuff all summer, and some COPD acted up. And but I was just going to call in for that praise report. And
praise the Lord.
Well, another thing that's going to call in about was the earthquakes you're talking about. You know, that earthquake was felt in four different countries, and all week long, Matthew 24 has been sticking out in my mind. I've been reading it. It talked about the earthquakes in diverse places. It talked about the pestilence and the phantoms and everything in Matthew 24 right now is happening today. I mean,
yeah.
Did you hear about the lightning strike that covered three states?
No.
Well, it was on the news.
Yeah.
It covered three states. You know, in Matthew 24, it says how the, you know, lightning flashes from east to west. That's supposed to be a sign of the coming of the Lord. I mean, you see lightning like that. Well, this covers three states. But on the pictures they showed on the news, the lightning strike actually looked like one of those pagan fish symbols that the Catholics put on the backs of the cars.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you might look up.
I'll look it up, yeah.
Because when I talk about earthquakes in different places, I always think, well, they got one in Germany, maybe one in the U.S., maybe one over there. You know, but Russia, China, Japan, America, they all felt the same earthquake.
Yeah, and that would fit, wouldn't it? That's a good point.
Yeah, there would be diverse places. I mean, I never looked at it that way before.
I didn't either, but it sure is a good thought. Yeah.
And then all the fires and the flooding. We are in the last days, so Lord Jesus, keep us safe, you know, shorten them days, and that's what I called in about.
Well, I appreciate it, Warren, and I'm sure glad that you're out of the hospital. You want to stay out of those places.
I still have my heart still fluctuates a lot, so Jesus, keep my heart beating in control.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. God bless, Warren. Thanks for calling. Yeah, I appreciate the call from Warren. It's always good to hear from him. Yeah, that was interesting. Earthquakes in diverse places. That would actually, that fits really good. I hadn't thought of it that way, but yeah, it makes sense.
Well, yeah, and, you know, he referenced Matthew 24/7 there, you know, nation rising against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. And it's always interesting every time I read that verse. It's like, so there's evidently a difference between nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom. You know,
interesting. So,
yeah, to your mind, there's you know, you think of a nation and a kingdom being pretty much the same thing, but evidently they're not. But yeah. So it's an amazing thing. And that earthquake, I remember seeing that. I think it was 515 miles long, they were saying. Or not earthquake, lightning strike.
The lightning bolt.
Yes. That's a pretty good size one. I mean, wow. So.
You wouldn't want to get hit by that one. Man.
Woo. Yeah. Yeah, that'd probably take care of some electricity shortages for a while. But, yeah.
Oh,
there's a lot of healing that goes on with those lightning strikes, you know, that ionizes the air, cleans things out. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I haven't seen nearly as much chemtrail stuff overhead. Has anybody else noticed?
I haven't seen near as much in our area either, but I know it seems like it's all but come to a stop where we're at, but I've heard that other places it's worse than ever. So I know Colorado, Wyoming, in the traveling that I've been doing, you know, keep an eye on that stuff, and it's just haven't seen very much of it. But I know some people up north that they said that it's just, I mean, it's bad, and some other different areas. So I don't know.
I was just curious.
We have had bluebird skies down here, which they usually hit us in the morning with the chemtrails, and it's been Chamber of Commerce weather down here for the last week or so, just hot. But it's been beautiful skies. That's for doggone sure.
Yep. Yeah, we've had either that. We've either had really blue skies and then, you know, about 4 or 5 days of that, and then we have a really good rainstorm. So it's almost like a, like I remember it as a child, you know. I mean, just
almost normal, right, Tim?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Although if you didn't grow up back then, you wouldn't know the difference. But yes, it's the way it is.
We've had some just crazy rains recently. Storms that have come through just bizarre. And I mean, just like downpours that last for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes and then just stop. And it soaks everything down real good. And then the heat's back up and then all of a sudden it's muggy and, humid. And it's like, oh man, it's kind of, I don't like that feeling, but it is what it is. But, it's just been different. The weather has been different and strange.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I've noticed. Yeah. It's an interesting, there's things changing anyways within the nations and the kingdoms, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, I think that, and the Ring of Fire is, they were talking about the Ring of Fire the other day, and I know that's not necessarily a biblical thing, but I remember the Ring of Fire song, you know, and I was like, wow, there's just a lot of interesting things going on right now that way, with earthquakes and with storms and with, nation building and nation tearing down. I mean, we're seeing a lot of those things.
Yeah, and I seen that, I think Will sent over a news article that talked about these Mexican cartels using Ukrainian front lines to learn more about drone warfare. And Ukraine's been kind of, you know, one of those, that's what they've been doing. And they're using this, they've taken this drone warfare to a completely different new level than anything that I've ever seen before. And those drone strikes that they've been using between Russia and Ukraine are just crazy. But this article talks about how these Mexican cartels are sending in volunteers to learn the drone warfare part of things. And, you know, it's like, okay, I mean, what kind of, I mean, that just to me, that's more proof of, you know, what kind of people that you got over there in Ukraine. If you're taking the volunteers from the Mexican drug cartels and using them and training them to do that, I mean, who do you think that the Mexican cartels are going to go back and learn this drone warfare and use it against?
Yes.
So the first thing I think of is birds of a feather flock together.
Yes.
The Ukrainian government's nothing but criminals. So that's number one. I think we got a call coming in there.
Yeah, we do. Go ahead and finish that thought, and we'll.
Sure. No, we can jump back to it, but yeah, it's amazing that, you know, we're financing or have financed the majority of this war between the Ukrainians and Russia, and our good friends, the Ukrainians, pay us back by having an entire legion of Spanish-speaking soldiers that have come there to learn warfare to go back to our southern border. I guess, you know, they're probably not going to use the drone warfare against the Hondurans. That would be my guess.
Right.
Yes.
Well, right. Let's go to the phone lines. Well, hello, caller.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Yeah. Have you talked about the group of people in the southern Arkansas that are forming a all-white community?
No, we have not.
I think they're up in northern Arkansas, up around Harrison. I think that's
where I thought it was southern. I thought it was southern.
Nah, it may be. Yeah,
anyway,
it was up around. I thought it was in Boone County.
Anyway, I don't know for sure, but I thought it's called. You can find out about it at returntotheland.org.
Okay.
And it's a completely white community. And it's really not that large right now, but they have quite a few people. And they sign an agreement to conform to the guidelines, rules to live there. But purely white people. And I don't think there's any others in the country doing that. It's a different type thing. I like it. And then, secondly, I read an article last night that, again, the name Muhammad is number one choice in the UK and Wales. And it's growing something like 20% year to year. And there's a second name they use, too, called something like Yahweh. I've never heard of that.
Huh.
That Muslim name.
I have not either.
No. Have any of you looked at that community information down there in Arkansas?
I've looked at it, yep. Not very familiar with it, but it's popped up a couple of times.
Yeah. And it's even kind of blocked. Get the right search engine. It blocked me right out of that. Yeah. Well, thank you very much. One thing, we had record rainfall in June and record heat in Ohio.
Oh, wow.
In July.
Okay.
And we got our first 50-degree nights 2 nights ago. Man, it's nice sleeping. I'll tell you that.
Praise the Lord for that. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Well, thank you very much.
Yep. God thanks for you. Calling.
Bye.
Well, and it's as simple as that. 970-224-4203. That's 970-224-4203. We'll go back to you, Tim.
Well, I think that when we look at one of the things I thought was interesting was, that just shortly after January, why President Trump designated the cartels as foreign terrorist organizations to jump back onto the drone stuff. But, so basically they are coordinating with these foreign terrorist organizations by our country's definition. And, it's already been said, but they've basically engaged in, a lot of violence and a lot of terror and a lot of everything else through the Western Hemisphere, and they destabilize their countries. There's a lot of that going on in Venezuela, but the drones certainly don't require you have one person who can run a group of drones, so all you need is one person without a conscience. You don't need a troop of guys that don't have a conscience. I mean, it's like, so it really brings down their, troop load or their training load as far as that goes, to what they can do against people with these drones. So it's a force multiplier with no conscience. And then you mix AI into it at some point, he may not even have to worry about having one guy running a multi-unit drone swarm. I mean, so we're looking at all of those aspects with an eye toward what they're going to use them for and what the outcome is.
Jason, can I take a minute and talk about the cartels?
Absolutely. Please do.
So I don't think, the information's out there, but it's not something that's readily spoken about. You're not hearing it often as far as how deep the cartels go. If you look at Mexico geographically is a large country, and pretty much outside of Mexico City, there are different states, Tamaulipas, Chihuahua, different states inside Mexico, and the cartels control those states. They are elections and there are locally elected officials, but it is truly the elected officials that the cartels want. and that the cartels put in place. And if by chance the wrong election happens and someone gets put into office that isn't sanctioned by the cartels, then they die.
They get kidnapped. Yeah.
Yeah. Correct. They get unalive very quickly. And so I think it's important for the folks that are listening to realize Mexico is a failed state. It is not a state. The government of Mexico, the legitimate government of Mexico, pretty much just runs Mexico City. And Mexico City is the largest city in Mexico, but it's a westernized city, but that's pretty much it. Like Claudia Sheinbaum, the president of Mexico, like she doesn't leave Mexico City because her power really only stays there. Throughout the rest of the country, it's ran by the cartels. And there's about five major cartels. There's a lot of sub-cartels that fall under the umbrella, but it's the Sinaloa cartel and the Gulf cartel and the Zetas and these different factions. It is wrong, in my opinion, to call them drug cartels. They certainly made their money off of the drug trade.
Okay.
But they have expanded out so far since the 1980s, when that's really when they dug in and they were the drug cartels. They move weapons all across the world. They move human beings all across the world. And I think folks don't grasp the reality of the cartels and the infrastructure they're having. I'm going to tie this back into Ukraine, I promise. But their operating budgets are larger than most second tier countries. They are $1 trillion organizations, and their infrastructure is amazing. They have planes, they have ships, they have tens of thousands of employees. And what the news likes to show you are the brown guys with tattoos on their face. And they very well may be a part of the cartel, but they are foot soldiers. They are not the cartels. Those are not the people calling the shots. The people that are calling their shots are living in large haciendas and mansions, and they have office complexes like you would see on Park Avenue. They are businessmen, and they are businessmen that are controlled. That control, just like the usual suspects, the enemies that we talk about regularly. And they foment chaos, anything that you can really think of as far as a vice, whether it's prostitution, human trafficking, kidnapping, smuggling, the drug trade, whatever. They are a part of it. They're a huge player in it. And they have their own military wing. It's not government sanctioned, so it makes total sense. It isn't that crazy when you stop and think about that the cartels are in the Ukraine on the front line, learning this new wave of warfare, because this is what the cartels have done for the last 40 years, that they move their people, and they have moved their people all across the world. The Hispanic cartels, whatever you want to call it, because we know they were in Africa during the civil wars in places like Sierra Leone and Liberia, that the cartels actually had soldiers there fighting on the front lines of these communist governments, these communist civil wars, because they need to practice. I mean, that's all that it comes down to, is they need the practice. They have to go and fight. So what you see is there is always a contingency of these Spanish-speaking legions that go to these war-torn areas, and they're on the front line fighting. And they do this so that they keep these men sharp, for lack of better terminology. I hope I'm making sense here. What we are ignorant to is, why are they doing this? And they're coming back to places like Mexico, and what you have is a battalion of guys that are battle hardened with the latest warfare technology on the front lines in these faraway places, and they come, I know in my case, 3.5 hours away from where I live, right? They come back to our southern border. I say all that to say this is nothing new. You know, Colonel Moore was talking about this in the 80s. Pastor Pete was talking about this in the 80s. This is nothing new. It continues. And we kind of turn a blind eye to it as a nation. And we really need to be aware of this. They have all the money in the world. They have battle-hardened men that are at our southern border, and we don't pay it enough attention. I guess that's what I want to say, is we don't pay it enough attention.
I would agree with you 100%, and I guess I was the one that said drug cartels, and I appreciate you correcting me on that, because you know, that's what I think of, and that's what I think of them as. But it's, you know, it's went from everything, like you said. I think it's human trafficking is a huge part of their business, but I think that they've went into pharmaceuticals and everything else, and I think that they own, you know, businesses now, like legitimate businesses. I mean, they're flourishing, but I've noticed, too, it's like you look at some of the pictures, and that's one thing that I think that the media has really covered up, because it's hard to find good pictures of the cartels. But they've got tanks, they've got armored personnel carriers, they've got rockets, they've got missiles, they've got, I mean, they're armed with semi-automatic Barrett 50 cals. I mean, it's sniper rifles, everything. It's it is a military. If you look at it, I mean,
they have a military.
Yeah, it's like a very well put together, organized military with, you know, soldiers with uniforms and body armor and helmets and night vision and everything that you can imagine. And I've often wondered that, just like what you said. It's like it's 3.5 hours south of you. It's, you know, I don't know, 12, 14 hours south of me, but that's pretty darn close. And there's not a lot of talk about it.
No, there's not. And I'll say this, too, just to throw it in there, just to pile on, is, you know, I have plenty of people that I know that like to go to Mexico and go to Cozumel or Cancun or these different places, and they always say, oh, no, the resort I'm going to, it's safe. Well, it's safe because the cartels own those places. And
they make the money off of it.
That's exactly right. It's nothing but what you were talking about, Jason. They've just branched off into legitimate businesses, so they're getting it on both ends. They're sending their poison north of the border as far as the dope. They're bringing the guns, you know, back south of the border. You know, they're smuggling the humans south of the border, and then they're getting the middle class and wealthy Americans to come down to their resorts to live like kings. It's just going to the same people. These businesses would not exist without the permission of the cartels. And the cartels run those places. They own those places. They run those places as nothing more as legitimate businesses, money laundering or whatever. So I look at it as, no, I want folks to have a good time and enjoy themselves too, but surely there's some place we can go in the United States and spend our money. All you're really doing when you go down there is you're just giving your hard-earned money to the cartels. It's the equivalent of just buying, you know, dope or stolen guns. I don't know. They are a real enemy. It's an evil empire down there. Not much good comes out of Mexico as far as I'm concerned. And, but yeah, this story from the Ukraine to me is an incredible, important story that we just need to realize that these people are south of the arc. And you've got to think about it this way. The way I look at stuff like this is, they're not learning this for the life experience, you know, of being able to say, hey, that was cool.
I know how to do that.
They're learning it because they plan on using it.
Right.
And I think that's, I think the point we're all trying to make here is we should understand that.
Well,
Tim, we're gonna go ahead and take a break. We're at the top of the hour. We're going to take a break. Hold that thought. Okay. We'll be right back after this song. Stay tuned, folks. Coffee with the Ritty Ranch Wranglers.
Through faith in God, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed with inalienable rights of life and precious liberty, the pursuit of happiness. On these we now take aim and set our sights.
Like sleeping watchmen on the wall, we have failed to heed the signs of usurping foreign powers within our land. Letting fraud, deceit, and usury be the curse of these hard times. Now won't you heed this wake-up call and lend a hand and be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the Second American Revolution today. In the spirit of our ancestors who refused to live in chains, we now must cast our eyes on liberty's light. For the blood spilled by our forefathers still flows within our veins, and we shall not live as slaves without a fight. Like soldiers, we must stand and face this enemy within and do what we must do to seize the time. For in order to defend and exercise our liberties, we now must place our liberty on the line and be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the Second American Revolution today. Be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the Second American Revolution.
Rout all those traitors right out of our system.
The Second American Revolution today.
And we're back, and you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. Phone number to call in this morning is 970-224-4203. And we'll go back to you, Tim.
Well, there's quite a bit of information out there about some of them, of our own military being infected, I'm going to use that word, or affected by the cartels, Airborne Corps, Special Forces, and different things like that, with them going in and doing that. Like Will said, when you have that much money at your disposal, people who are manipulated by money or those sort of possessions can, it's for sale. I mean, so we see a lot of that. And for everyone, we see how many are much deeper than that. You know? So it's a real situation.
I'll give you an example. Back in the late 90s, for an E-1 private in the Army, the monthly paycheck was, and I'm doing this by memory, but I think it was like $850 a month. And what they found, this was one of the first times that the Department of Defense had to admit that they'd been infiltrated and that they had folks inside the military that were actually working for criminal street gangs and cartels and that sort of thing. And I'll speak on that in just a second about the street gangs. But what they were finding, and Jason, you mentioned it, that they have night vision goggles and they have all of this stuff. Well, in a lot of instances, that stuff was just coming out of military depots and military bases all across the country and getting smuggled south. Because what was happening is you had these, and I guess I'm just going to be negative toward the Hispanics for a second, but they would take the ASVAB, which is the military recruitment test as far as the aptitude test, and they would go in and they would, they would get jobs within the military of like forklift driver, warehouse worker, and logistics and that sort of thing. Well, what was happening is you had members of cartels that were going to these folks working in the warehouses saying, we'll pay you $2,000, more than twice your monthly salary, if you leave this package in the parking lot of Walmart or whatever, and they just simply started smuggling out things, things that were wanted by the cartels. And what did we do about it as far as the government? We wrote it off. We didn't do a real investigation or anything like that. And that happened for some time before finally they started doing something about it. But to backtrack on that, I know we've talked about it on Coffee before, but I'll remind people, back in the 80s at Fort Benning, Georgia, we had something called the School of Americas, and we trained the special forces. Our United States Green Berets trained what became known as Los Zetas, which is a criminal cartel, and we did it on purpose. And what has happened is they became the paramilitary fashion of these cartels down in Mexico, and they have spent the last 40 years training the new recruits in the same tactics that that we essentially gave to them. There's just something for us to remember on that. Real quick, I was going to talk about criminal street gangs. When you hear about these criminal street gangs, you know, kind of what Tim was talking about earlier with nations and kingdoms, you know, obviously there's a separation. The criminal street gangs you hear about here in this country, they're all tied back to cartels. These are just the foot soldiers that are running amok in our nation, that there is a pyramid that leads to a top and the money funnels that way. It's a business. It's an organized business. And so when you see the local news reports of the street gangs or whatever, understand they answer to a higher authority, and that is the cartels that are south of our border.
Well, let me ask you this, and this is probably a dumb question. I don't know why I don't know the answer to it, but when we're talking about a cartel, is it like a family run cartel? Is it like a, you know, is it?
It's a regional. It's regional. So there's certainly some instances, especially going into like Central America and even some South American cartels, that there are certain families that are power brokers that kind of control the business, and it gets divvied up, certain parts of the business, maybe with uncles and in-laws that have married in and that sort of thing. But it is very regional as far as, you know, Central Mexico, Gulf Mexico, so different regions within the area are controlled by different factions. And right now, there was a time where they were kind of at war with one another. Right now, everybody's peaceful because everybody's making money hand over fist. And different cartels control different things, if that makes sense. The Sinaloa cartel has always been linked to narcotics trafficking, and your Gulf cartel is, you know, they run humans and guns, and but they all work together. They're not at war right now because, like I said, they're making money hand over fist. Not to mention, and this is a good time to say this, they are also about waist deep in with the People's Republic of China.
Yeah,
they are absolutely in bed with Communist China.
Well, and I remember too, and maybe you know, I'm trying to remember the conversation. It was a conversation, I mean, I had years ago, but it was with Earl Jones, and he was talking about a lot of those cartel higher ups weren't. We always think of them as being 100% Mexican or Spanish or something like that. But he said a lot of those were had Jewish blood in them as well.
Absolutely. So a quick history. I'm gonna get the time frames wrong, but we need to remember too that Mexico as a nation was ran. It was a German principality for a while, and what you saw during, if you ever wonder why Mexico produces good beer, right? Like with Modelo or Dos Equis, it's because the Germans taught them. That's not something that came out of Mexico, I promise. The Germans.
Well, that makes sense.
They built breweries, and if you've ever listened to Tejano music, and you think, that's kind of catchy, I like that, that's probably because it appeals to your German roots, because there were no accordions or anything like that until the Germans took them to Mexico. So if you think it sounds like polka oompa music, it's for a reason. The Germans taught them that music. Complete aside, I just want to throw that out there. Yeah, so what you saw when the German government went into Mexico in the 1800s is you saw a lot of Jewish power and influence from Europe come with them as far as banking and lending institutions and that sort of thing. And Pastor Jones was absolutely right because those people never really left. They stayed down there because they saw fruit that was ripe for the picking, and they saw a lot of low IQ people that could be exploited as far as labor and resources, and they stayed. And so that is absolutely correct.
Dad.
Yeah, I'm finding through a lot of research here that quite frequently, and more often than I would have suspected, that if they don't want to use the moniker Israeli or Jewish, Ukrainian will work. You know, there's a major connection between those two things.
Yes.
If you start digging into it. I mean, they're there in force, and they don't have any problem with switching up their, you know, whatever. I mean, it's going on, like we were talking about the other day, about the prime ministers. The majority of prime ministers in the Israeli state came from, they were Ukrainian. I mean, so, you know, if you're wondering about this Ukrainian war connection and all that, like, those asking the right questions gets you a long way toward finding the truth. You know, and doing some looking into it.
Jason, just to double witness real quick what you were saying about what Earl Jones had said.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, currently the president of Mexico is 100% Jewish, Claudia Sheinbaum.
Yeah.
And two presidents ago, Vicente Fox was half Jewish. His mother was Jewish. So even in the power plays with inside Mexico, is the people who rise to prominence as far as politics, there is still that old Jewish kind of blood that is there.
Yep.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, and I can't. You pronounce her name better than I do. That Jewish president of Mexico, but wasn't she one that was actually kidnapped by the cartels and then let go or something like that? Or was that somebody else that I'm thinking of?
Yeah, I don't. I think some of that may be kind of urban legend.
That's what
I really don't know.
It's like, how could you? It's like, so what happened during that time? I mean, something happened, but it's just, to me, it was weird. It's like, okay, yeah, I don't buy it. Because she's one. It's like the cartel doesn't like what you said. You mess with the cartels and you end up dead. But something was weird around there. There was some kind of deal made, I think, or something. But it just, you know,
probably.
Yeah, just strange stuff. No, Derek, he said, God blames Esau, Edom. Your listeners need to know this Bible verse, Obadiah 10. I read, quote, "For the violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever." Yes, and Mexicans are of Canaanite descent. Appreciate that, Derek. No, I'm glad we got to talk about that. I think that that's one of the things that is important that we need to remember. Is the most important thing is like, and I think it was the most important thing that you, the point that you made there, Will, was that they intend of, they're gathering up all this information, this infrastructure, this knowledge, this learning, you know, traveling the world and learning about warfare. It's because they intend on using it. So, you know, who knows what's gonna start that fire, when that's gonna kick off. You know, that's a war just waiting to happen.
Yeah, and it's probably already in effect. You know, I mean, part of the media's job is to keep the left hand from knowing what the right hand's doing. I mean, you know, so we may already be under some control over that, or have, you know, our governments or our officials just through that and not really even know it. I mean, the threat is they use a threat. It's a blackmail situation until
it's not.
Yeah. So
it's not an original thought. I mean, I know we probably need to move on, but I mentioned the People's Republic of China, and I've long held the belief, and I know this is nothing new as far as this ministry is concerned, but I truly believe that the People's Republic of China, the communist Chinese, they look at Mexico as a staging point for a future northern invasion of the United States and Canada. And I think that is why they have poured so much money into Mexico, into the ports, into the air. If folks don't know, there are major airports that are not associated with any cities throughout the interior of Mexico that the cartels control, that you can land a 747 on. And there is zero infrastructure around it. It's not like it's in a major city somewhere, but there are these massive airports that are just there. And so I just wanted to throw that out there, that is the reason why it's important that China and these Mexican cartels, these South American cartels, are linked up, is from a strategic standpoint.
Yeah.
It is very important for that relationship to exist.
That relationship that they've got going on, that's why we had all those foreign Chinese dudes coming over from Mexico.
100%. That's the human smuggling aspect of it, that there is a very friendly relationship there. Don't forget, China, even today, they're still making a play for the Panama Canal. They want to control the Panama Canal. And it's very interesting that China is so interested in having a large footprint south of our border. It's for a reason, I guarantee you.
Well, and then when you mix that in with the fact that they own some of the ports or control some of the ports on East and West Coast, you know, that are are owned and controlled by them, why, it's strategically, it would give you pause. You know what I mean? It's like you need to be, so.
It makes me want to go buy some more ammo.
Hey, there you go.
No, I think that I really believe that the thing that we need to remember is greater are the forces that are for us than the forces that are against us, and God's not going to forsake us. And, you know, we need to continue. We talk about these things so that people are aware of things that are going on, not to scare anybody, but, this is something that we need to pray about. And I've got a family, and I need to, it's making me think, as we're sitting here talking, it's like, I need to raise them up to be soldiers. I mean, you know, Christian soldiers, but they need to know first and foremost, I want to raise them up to be Christians, but I want them to raise them up to be able to defend themselves and their country also.
Amen. Psalms, I always go back to when we talk about this, and it's kind of an underpinning of my, you know, Psalms 2:4 says, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision." So, their plans are for naught. I mean, at the end of the day, but we play into that too. I think the Lord plans on, and I think we are to occupy. That's one of our goals. Does he need us to do it? No, but we also have our marching orders, if you want to get into it and look at it that way. And we're to be ready in season and out of season. So that's part of the defense of our homeland, the defense of our families from all comers. It doesn't matter whether it's financial, whether it's militant viewpoints or whatever. These are our marching orders and our plan and process that our Heavenly Father has, that our Commander Chief has commanded us to do. So that's part of that preparation that we talk about all the time and that we think about. So.
My wife brought that up the other day, that, you know, and how she, you know, Pastor Peters taught us that, you know, laughter was a weapon of warfare as well. And, you know, a week or 2 weeks ago, we had a situation that came up, and I got up and I was in it, and I'm like, I'm going to go kick some butt. I'm going to, you know, give them the what for. I'm going to, you know, and my wife, she's trying to calm me down. And she's like, you know, she's like, just laugh at it. You know, just, you know, she's like, don't address it. Just don't, you know, don't waste your time. You were taught laughter is a weapon of warfare. And she's like, I really think in this situation, it's, you just need to laugh it off. And of course, sometimes, when your wife tells you something like that, you don't really want to listen. You kind of in the back of your head, you know she's probably right, but at the same time, it's like, I'd rather just deal with it this way. You know, this is, but I knew she was right, and that's what I did. I just did not address the situation and used laughter and just, you know, blew it off. Okay, whatever. I made up my mind. I am not going to put time or energy or waste or let somebody else control my emotions, get under my skin, whatever kind of terminology that you want to use. I'm not going to waste my time is what I came up with. And it was, you know, and just said, Lord, deal with this situation, because I don't want to. And that was pretty much it. And, you know, the Lord turned that situation and turned it, and it was like heaping coals on their heads because it bothered them so much that I did not get upset about the situation. And the Lord turned everything around and worked it out perfectly. And I couldn't have asked for a better outcome. And if I would have done things my way, everything would have been worse. So, I mean, it's very important to, you know, trust him. And, you know, and I think that, you know, that laughter, and he's in control of so many different things. And it's our lack of faith and our lack of trust that a lot of times gets us in trouble.
Yeah.
And plus, when you smile at your enemy, that just aggravates him to no end.
Yeah, it does. It really does. Exactly. So, anyway, moving on. Go ahead, Will.
Yeah. No, please go ahead.
I was just going to say, so there's still a lot of going to national news. ICE arrest in Maine. I seen that there was this darkie that got arrested after trying to buy a gun.
Yeah. So yeah. This guy, it's funny because he had actually been carrying a gun for some time because he was actually a police officer in Old Orchard Beach, Maine. And the guy's name strikes me, but our I can't remember what it is. It doesn't matter. Turns out he's actually an illegal alien that had been serving as a police officer for several years. He was from Jamaica and had overstayed his visa, but I guess up there that's okay. And so he got arrested because he went to try to buy a gun, even though this town in Maine had let him carry a gun as a police officer for, I think it was like 7 years.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, 6 or 7 years.
Yeah. So, and I know for a fact that there's been some other states. The one that comes to mind is Minnesota. If y'all remember this, Minnesota actually changed their state laws to allow illegal aliens to become peace officers in the state of Minnesota.
Yes. Wow. Isn't that crazy?
Just seems like a bad idea. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You know, but yeah, that's, it is crazy. It's crazy.
Hiring immigrants without legal status. I mean, it's just like, I mean, talk about insanity. I mean, who thinks this is a good idea?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a question. Yeah.
Hire illegal aliens and let's give them guns and have them go out and arrest bad people.
Well, not to mention, I mean, you're not picking it. You know, I'll go back to, you know, this isn't an immigrant from South Africa or an immigrant from Ireland or something. You know, if you read into this story, this guy's from Jamaica, and I don't know how much y'all know about Jamaica, but you don't want to wander around the streets very much in Jamaica. And the others, you know, they also mentioned another one from Falmouth, Maine, where the exact same thing happened. And in April of this year, ICE arrested a 32-year-old citizen of the Congo, like in sub-Saharan Africa, who had
was he carrying a gun or a machete?
I don't know, a spear. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what he was doing, but I know that he had been employed as a corrections officer, and I'm just sitting here scratching my head thinking, like, I don't even know. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't see how they can to get hired in those things, but I don't know. I want to pronounce this guy's name just because I think it would be funny to do, this Congo guy, Mulondo Wamba.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, boy, that's a mouthful.
Remember when, you know, the local cop on the street was just Officer Jones and you could trust him? I guess you could trust Officer Mulondo Wamba in Falmouth, Maine. So that I thought Maine was a pretty good state. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, it certainly makes one wonder what the prerequisites for hiring are. I mean, they probably have they don't have much. What's the recommendation for the hiring process? You know, I mean,
are they desperate for people that want jobs in stuff like that? I mean, it's like, seriously, I mean, you'd think that, or is that what they have to do? You have to to be in law enforcement agencies, have to hire so many minorities, and that includes illegal aliens from different countries, undocumented Democrats or whatever.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me of, you know, when you call customer service on some of this stuff, man, they transfer you to some foreign country, and I don't know about anybody else, but I sometimes just been like, I can't understand anything they say. The what do you want to call it? The dialect is so strong in there. It's like, I usually just give up and hang up. I'm sure that's part of the plan there, but you know, the point is you're in the same boat here. It's like, what? So yeah, I don't know. It's strange. What do they know about the Constitution or about being born in our country or about,
right.
Amen. So, I mean, are they still administering the oath where they're, you know, pledging allegiance to the Constitution and the state, you know, the state laws of wherever they're at? Or are they just saying, okay, here's some keys and a gun, go forth?
Yeah. It makes one wonder. I mean, it really does.
And you stop and think, you know, you spend 25 years in the Congo. What kind of law enforcement do they have in the Congo? And you would think that when they get here, they're going to emulate whatever they saw there. I don't know. I wouldn't want to live in Maine. And I really thought Maine was a good state, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I seen that this other next headline, I want to talk about this a little bit and then, open it up for discussion, but an Arizona woman sentenced to 8 years for helping North Korea spies to infiltrate U.S. companies. Christina Marie Chapman, a 50-year-old Arizona resident, has been sentenced to more than 8 years in prison for her role in a scheme that allowed North Korea spies to infiltrate 309 U.S. companies using false identities as IT workers. And this is just, I've been hearing about it. I've had several calls over the last, I don't know, probably 3 months of people that have been scammed by basically had money taken out of their bank accounts. It's either through somebody calling up pretending to be Amazon or to be their bank or to say that there's a problem with their credit card or different situations, but it's basically the same. It's like, hey, they've got some information. They need to confirm some more information, and it's, you know, you need to confirm your identity. There's a problem, and we need to help you. And that seems to be the MO that I've heard a lot of lately. And they, you know, get you to start talking, they get you to give information, and all of a sudden, boom, they're into your bank account, they're into your credit card, it's gone, and the money is gone, and it's out of the country within minutes, and there's nothing that, from what I found, nothing that anybody can do about it.
No.
And, you know, it's one of our friends they got, I think it was $18,000 stolen from them just in a matter of minutes. I know another lady that had $60,000 stolen, and that's what she had. That was her life estate. And she was a, you know, an elderly woman in her 90s, and boom, gone. And, you know, between dealing with the, she contacted the FBI, she contacted the bank, she contacted, you know, everybody, and there's just basically nothing that they could do about it. I was helping her reset some things up, and basically we put, we changed her bank account around where there is, she has to go down to the bank in person to do anything. And they have a way of setting that up now where there's no, it's not tied to an online account. She can't do anything online. She can't access it. They can't, it has to be an in-person transaction. And, you know, I did that just to help her out, cause I didn't want her getting scammed again. I don't know, exactly what the answer is, but I just want people to be very aware of this because it's an epidemic and these people are trying it. I mean, I get these spam calls all the time. People claiming to be, you know, from the IT department here, or if the IT department here, or there's a problem with your credit card, there's a problem with your phone bill, this or that, and we need to help you get it fixed. And I'm just a very untrusting, suspicious person, but and I think people need to, you know, to think that way. I don't know. What are your thoughts, man?
Well, I
have two quick thoughts, and then I know Tim could probably do a deeper dive than this, but my two quick thoughts on this particular story is, one, this Chapman lady that was arrested supposedly is spying for North Korea. Read between the lines, North Korea doesn't do anything without the permission of China. So really, this is going to be she's spying for China. That's my first thought.
Yep.
Secondly, within this story, you also learned there was a second person arrested who was a Ukrainian citizen, Alexander Dedenko, who actually was running an online platform that was providing, I guess, the ability and the service to create these false IT positions to spy on people and that sort of thing. So you have some usual suspects between China and Ukraine that are, setting up this net in order to be able to spy on folks here in the United States. And that's really all I was going to say. Tim, what you got?
Well, I was looking at the Ukrainian citizen issue there too. I'm going to say, here we go again. I mean, we're right back to that Ukrainian China tie-in, North Korea tie-in. These are enemies of our state or of our people or our country. I mean, and they're seeking to take a spoil from our people. So I think that, and you're back to this data thing again. I mean, people, the right to privacy is a fundamental right to privacy, and there's a reason that it exists, and that's so that this doesn't exist. You know, so many, particularly it seems like our older generations, they were much more open. They don't feel the need to, I don't like to use the word hide, because from their point of view, that sounds like you're trying to pull something. But private is private. It's your information. It belongs to you. And it is, it's your trademark, who you are, what you are. And that's why this is such a big deal. Everybody, the whole data thing, and they want to have, servers, and they want to have AI. And with AI coming online, this problem is certainly going to get worse, because basically one of the big things with AI that a lot of people don't consider is the fact that passwords and security measures are the jailbreak on any of that kind of stuff with an AI-powered device becomes pretty much a nothing burger. I mean, you don't have any security that way, because it can be manipulated, it can be controlled, it can be jailbreak just through mass force, and they can do it in seconds with big servers. And so keep your information as private as you can. I think, like Jason said, how about just doing it maybe person to person, or physical? There's a lot.
Use cash.
Yeah, exactly. And it's becoming a really, I know I was reading some things about what they call that economy, the cash economy. It's really jumping, because people are like, well, they can't hack that. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing more of that going on all the time. You know, if you're doing a lot of ordering or a lot of online ordering or something, maybe look at a cash load credit card. At least the only thing that can be swiped there is whatever's on it. I mean, there's ways to fight back and ways to defend yourself, and we have to look at that kind of stuff. So that's my 2 cents worth.
And just a quick follow-up to comment on Tim there. You know, Tim likes to talk about, and he's 100% correct, that asymmetrical warfare. Well, folks, this is asymmetrical warfare. Don't think it's just criminals trying to get rich. That certainly is a result of it, but it really is warfare against us and our people here in our nation, that this is just one more way that they do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and moving on, we've got, We're about a little over halfway through the second hour. I think we need to speed things up just a little bit. Update, let's just hit some headlines. 5 people charged in a violent mob attack on a white man and woman in Cincinnati.
Do you guys see the video of this?
I did.
No, I did. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I don't know what I can say other than I don't know. What would you say, Jason?
I don't know. I wish they would have had a gun. I wish they would have been able to defend themselves. I mean, it's just disgusting.
If folks haven't seen the video, basically it was an older white couple, man and woman, who was in a kind of a bar district in Cincinnati. They're walking down the sidewalk, and they get surrounded. There's lots of talk of why it happened or whatever, but if you watch the video, I mean, they got flanked. There was no avenue of them getting out of there, and the man knocked down, stomped, I mean, just soccer kicked. Lady gets knocked down, she gets back up, and then a black male just cold cocked her and knocked her flat right out and proceeded to stomp her. It was a vicious attack. It was a vicious attack.
Wow.
Yeah, it was horrible. Yeah. And I guess, you know, be aware of your surroundings, be aware and, you know, try to pay attention. If you get in a situation like that, try to get out. I mean, it's like, do what you got to do, but you're better off trying to get out of a situation before it escalates to that extent, because, there's a lot of people, I don't know, we don't need to go there, but, it was a bad situation. It was brutal and it was horrible. You know, hearing
but it's not a hate crime.
Exactly. But if that would have been a mob of white men attacking a black couple, it would have been a completely different story. That's for darn sure.
Yeah, that would have been
a lynching.
It would have started another movement like Black Lives Matter, BLM, and they would have been rioting and burning the cities down.
A city councilwoman in Cincinnati came out on record and said they got what they deserved, the white couple. No kidding. I'm not making that up. She came out and said they got what they deserved.
Yeah, wow.
And it was film. That's the other thing.
It was. Yeah.
You know.
Well, and here in Colorado, we've had what normally we would call law enforcement has turned into basically being a criminal. We had a sheriff's deputy that pulled somebody over for tailgating, and it's been all over the news here in Colorado. I don't know how much national news that it's actually got, but because of the sanctuary city status, blah blah blah, you know, that kind of stuff. Pulled this man over. From what I understand, it's it was a tailgating, you know, something. Found out that the guy was illegal. Contacted ICE, and the Attorney General Phil Weiser, he's just a snaky Jew bastard. He basically is pressing charges against the sheriff's deputy that arrested the guy. And contacted ICE, basically saying that we are not going to support any of the federal immigration laws, and we're not going to work with them in any way, shape, or form, and is basically treating this sheriff's deputy like he's a felony criminal. Is that the way that you understand it?
Well, yeah. It's just this guy just did his job, and as a result, he's being
I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, okay, so if, I mean, how do they? Because it's a, I guess, because it's a sanctuary city, or they have sanctuary status, that then sheriff's departments aren't supposed to work. I mean, I thought that law enforcement agencies were all kind of, you know, work together, or supposed to. But I guess if you're in a sanctuary city and have sanctuary status, that doesn't work. That, you know, the feds don't work with local law enforcement. Is that what they're? I mean, that's basically what they're saying, ain't it?
Yeah, that's what this attorney general is saying. Whether that's the intent,
how does that? I mean,
whatever. But.
So does the attorney general actually have the power to do that? Because I mean, can they press charges? Because. This guy was just doing his job. I mean, wasn't he doing what he was supposed to be doing? I mean, as far as the sheriff's department to do?
Yeah, I mean, my answer is yes. I guess the AG can interpret and have lawfare against whoever they want to. I feel bad for the deputy sheriff, because I think the guy was probably legitimately probably an American guy trying to do his job. And the result that he gets is, you know, he's facing a felony now, right? I mean, that kind of, to me, that's kind of a chilling effect on all the other law enforcement guys of, you know, we don't want to screw up, right? And maybe do our job and arrest somebody who's committed a crime, because, you know, we may be committing a crime if we do that. That's the way I look at it, is pretty much the attorney general has told the entire state of Colorado, whether it's a trooper, deputy sheriff, city cop, or whatever, be careful, because if you enforce the law, you may commit a felon.
Yeah, the way that I read it. I think this attorney general needs to go. We got a governor that needs to go too, but a whole bunch of them.
They're trying to slap him with a $50,000 fine. And my question on this whole deal is, you know, there's a lot of stuff in the media about this these days. But what about qualified immunity? Did that deputy not have qualified immunity? I mean, what he did there was not basically what Weiser's done,
Tim,
is pulled his qualified immunity. Go ahead.
Tim, there's been a war on qualified immunity for the last few years, and I guarantee you that what this attorney general is going to say is that this deputy sheriff is not entitled to qualified immunity because he was acting outside of Colorado law. And that would nix his qualified immunity. It's bullcrap law with his whole sanctuary crap, but I guarantee you that's the tactic they will use.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And it keeps coming to my mind of just Deuteronomy 28:43, that, you know, the stranger who's among you will rise above you higher and higher, and you're going to go lower and lower. And, you know, you got a young man, I don't know how old this guy was, but deputy sheriff, you know, out there trying to do what's right. And, you know, the alien, the stranger amongst us, he gets a free pass and goes along his merry way to be free and unmolested. And the deputy gets a $50,000 fine and a potential felony. I mean, that sure seems like that's what Deuteronomy means, huh?
Yep. It's very interesting to me, because, you know, in today's age, if you have a bad actor who's putting it on a citizen, man, it's hard to get rid of. But, you know, you've got a guy here who's a good actor and trying to take care of public safety and everything. And, you know, bam, you're going to lose your job. You're going to have a $50,000 fine, possibly jail time. It's like, wow, what a mess. And wrong. So,
yeah.
Well, I know, man, down in, Houston area, over 200 illegal, alien child sex offenders arrested in the last 6 months. There was 214 of them alleged illegal alien child sex offenders arrested in the past 6 months, were more than the field office arrested during the entire 2024 fiscal year. And, you know, just looking at these guys, it's like, man, I mean, I'm glad that they're getting arrested and they're getting out of the country. But, you know, some of these people have been deported three or four times. You know, these are, you know, 67-year-old dirty bastards that have molested minors multiple times. And, you know, I'm glad that we're getting them caught and getting them shipped back. From, I mean, what do they just, they keep crossing the border illegally? Is that what the deal is? Is that what happened? Or,
sure. I mean, in previous administrations, you know, the last 4, 5, 6 years, whatever, the border really wasn't shut down. So, I mean, it was a sieve, man. I mean, you put them across and they come right back. And, thankfully, I don't think that is happening now. I know it's not happening now here, at least in Texas. And so that is to answer your question, Jason, very quickly, that's exactly what was happening. They get shipped back and they cross the border sometimes within days. They're right back into the United States.
Okay. Just for that many and that just in one area, I mean, that's just, you know, kind of is mind-boggling just to think that they can arrest that many just in one area. But I guess there's a lot of people down there. The other thing is like on the self deportation, I've heard that there's just a continued surge in that. So is the reason that people are doing these self deportation is because they can actually apply for citizenship if they do that? Whereas if they get arrested and get deported, they cannot apply for citizenship. Is that, or get a visa, or
that is accurate.
Is that accurate? Okay.
Yeah, that is accurate. There's a couple more reasons too, and I'll just throw them out there. One, the federal government's paying $1,000 if you self-deport. So there's a little bit of incentive there for these guys to do that. The other big side of it too is you're starting to see a lot of I-9 inspections, which are workplace inspections that are going across the country to these meatpacking plants and warehouses and that sort of thing. And what you're starting to see is the secondary effect of that, where you have the employers, these companies saying, we can't afford $30,000 fines daily. So they're telling the aliens to take a hike. And what you're seeing is the guys that are maybe not skilled in the construction trades or whatever, and they have no job now. They're not finding employment, so they're turning to self-deportation to try to get out of the country because their gainful employment is leaving them. And okay. All I say to that is hallelujah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good thing.
Yep. Well, and it makes one wonder when you look at this. I see in this article they've got a number for, you know, reporting crimes and suspicious activity. It makes jumping back just for a minute to Colorado's AG, you know, it makes you wonder if somebody in Colorado calls that number in and gets found out, are they going to be up for a $50,000 fine and for that kind of stuff for, you know, trying to clean up their city or their county or their area,
right.
You know, I mean, we're looking at, there's some major, I'm hoping that this officer that was arrested for this whole deal, you know, I hope that goes to the Supreme Court and get some benefit.
There you go.
Or get some, you know, but this is, it's ridiculous to place us in this melting pot with these, you look at the pictures, you look at the names, and it's obvious where this is all coming from. It's obvious what's going on there. These people are, you know, child traffickers. They're, you know, pedophiles. They're the worst of the worst. So, Yeah.
Well, moving on. You know, we've seen a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff changing as far as with the FDA's concern, vaccinations, and, you know, recommended vaccinations. Different stuff. I seen that America Academy of Pediatrics, they came out and they basically want a religious vaccine exemptions to go away. The American Academy of Pediatrics today said religious and philosophical vaccine exemptions are problematic and should be prohibited for children attending daycare and schools in the U.S. And to me, it's just like, okay, here they are fighting back. You know, well, you know, these are the same people that spew out, you know, it's my body, my choice. But you people over there, you shouldn't have any religious exemptions in any way, shape, or form. I mean, just a bunch of garbage. And to me, I think that it is really, you know, reading between the lines, it's these vaccine companies are really getting hit hard, because that's one of the things, and I'm really excited for it, that people are waking up to the dangers of vaccines. And praise God, that's something that we've been fighting for a long time, and wanting people to wake up. It's there has been so many families across the country that their families have been destroyed. They have been fractured. They have been changed. They have been, you know, had catastrophes happen in families, you know, dealing with autistic children and children with health issues that they shouldn't have due to the damage done by these vaccines. And we've been, you know, this ministry has fought hard for many years to try to warn people of the dangers of the vaccines. And we've interviewed some of the top people in the country on the subject, and, you know, just been screaming it up from the rooftops. And I see that there is, I've been just so encouraged that there are people that are waking up, and they are coming to the truth that, hey, this is, you know, there's some bad stuff in these vaccines. And you know, I think that, you know, seeing this, it's like, yeah, they just you know, it's a money deal. It's they're getting exposed and they're fighting back. So I'm encouraged by that.
I am too. I think that when you look at the fact that, and what astounds me is that they're like doubling down on this whole deal right now is what they're doing, because when you consider the fact that all of the information that's come out just recently over the what is the COVID-19 vaccines and everything, creating all these issues and all these problems, and they're looking at the fact that all that was going on, and now we're talking about what is it, the mercury and the aluminum and everything else in there. But this is, to me, this is just an act of desperation that's doubling down on it. It's like, well, we know all this information exists over here, but we want to shut it down. You know?
Think about the enemy and what they need. So we're hitting them in the pocketbook. We're minimizing their influence and power, and we're taking away the blood sacrifice of the innocent children. No doubt they're doubling down. They will fight tooth and nail to keep the status quo when it comes to those things.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, this is just another cartel. I mean, I think probably literally plays into that. Yeah,
I think it's the cartel of cartels. I think there's one cartel that rules all the other cartels. If you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's kind of the way.
Synagogue of Satan. That's what I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
And you know, when they study into these people that are doing a lot of illegal drug use, it all kind of started out with legal drug use. But then when they get shut off, they turn to other methods or other suppliers. So, yeah,
you're
looking at
dead on
breaking cycle.
Well, and that's going to, I think that ties in with, and the vaccines tie in with, you know, what we're going to talk about next, and that is American birth rates dropped to levels of civilization suicide. And, you know, in this article, I'll get this one posted up here on the Newswire, hopefully here just in a little bit, but it was, I don't know, I'll turn it over to you. What are your thoughts, man?
I think it's a very interesting article, and I think the audience will enjoy listening to it, because it's almost an editorial talking about the suicide levels of Americans not reproducing new Americans, and the whole idea of, you know, the replacement theory of these aliens, these strangers coming in from other places. The problem with that is they're not becoming American. They're not assimilating. So what we're doing is actually we're watching the death of our nation is kind of what the article deals with, of we're not making new Americans, and the people that are showing up on our shores don't want to be Americans. And that's kind of the gist of it as far as I'm concerned.
That's what I think, too. I think, and, yeah, we don't have time to go through it, but you have a good article. I'll try to get it up. I'm going to try to get a bunch of the stuff that we talked about this morning up on the Newswire. You can visit the Newswire by going to www.sfawbn.com. And moving on. Prepper tip of the week. Anybody want to start off with anything? Nope. I don't know. This week was one of those weeks where I just didn't have a whole lot of time to go through a whole lot of stuff. So I'll leave it up to you, man. If you got anything you want to talk about, we got about 5 minutes.
Tim, you got anything?
Oh,
I don't know if we lost him, but I don't know, but I'll throw something weird out,
yeah.
And I don't know how much it is, a prepper tip of a week or whatever, but are you back, Tim?
Yep, I am.
Did you have anything you wanted on the prepper tip of the week? Well, okay. I have been toying with the idea, and I'm going to call this a prepper tip of the week. I have been toying with the idea of making a water wagon, a portable firefighting apparatus using an IBC tote and a pump and a hose reel. Have you guys had any experience? Have y'all seen this? Or,
oh, yeah.
You don't have any idea what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Out west, I would imagine y'all have seen this, but I have been pricing out trailers and totes and pumps and that sort of thing, and just kind of a crazy thought, but I know we're getting into our dry season, and that really made me start thinking about this. I don't know if y'all have any comments on it or not.
No, I like it. I like the idea of it. I've seen a lot of them out here. People got them where they can basically have them either built on skids where they can set it on the back of a flatbed pickup truck or a trailer or something like that. So it's, you know, kind of modular, plug it in. A lot of them have a 12-volt battery system with a, you know, pump on it. Some of them have some sprinkler heads. It's stuff that you can, you know, wildland fires with where the wind's blowing and you want to cover a large area, it's almost like you're spraying, you know, a crop or something like that. But they put out a little bit more water. Soaping down the water actually helps a lot when you're trying to put that fire. It makes it a little stickier, makes it go a lot farther. Yeah, they're fantastic. IBC totes, they're generally, a lot of times you can find them for free. If sometimes you got to pay a little bit of money for them, but they're fantastic way to go. Good. You know, when you're getting one of those, if you're going to use it for like potable water storage, which a lot of people do, just make sure you know what was in it before you use it for that. Now with like a portable, you know, fire, basically your portable fire truck, I wouldn't worry too much about what was in it. But if I was going to try to use it for drinking water or something like that, I definitely want to know what's in that thing before and make sure that it was something that was safe and, you know, food grade.
Yeah.
Along those lines, if anybody has any local winemakers near them, I have found out just from asking around, a lot of times they bring bulk juice in from other places, and those are all food grade IBC totes, and I know I have found a source where I can get them for free. They just want them off their lot.
Wow. Yeah, nice. The last two that I got them from actually a place that makes a margarita mix, and they get tequila delivered in them, so I figure that's food grade too. So yeah, well, we are out of time, men. I want to thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
You bet.
And Remnant, I want to thank you for being here as well. Join us for church tomorrow by going to scripturesforamerica.org. We'll talk to you later.
America, America, is it too late to save you? Will foreign troops invade your soil? Will government enslave you? Will the greatness that was once your crown be trampled in the street?
You are listening to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network with Pastor Peter J. Peters, made possible by the tithes and offerings of the faithful. If you would like to be one of those who help to get needed truths out to others, send your